This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Ever notice how some stories start off feeling like a mystery, and then as the details come in, they start to sound like something far worse? That's where we are today. The story of 14-year-old Celeste Rivas Hernandez, a child whose disappearance out of Lake Elsinore, California, only to be found months later in the trunk of a Tesla belonging to the singer called David, D4VD. And what's come out since? It's not rumor. It's not fan fiction. It's what's been dug up by a licensed private investigator, and it paints a picture that's part tragedy, part negligence, and entirely avoidable. So here's everything we know so far. And just as important, what's still in question? Because there's a difference between what's confirmed, what's alleged, and today we're going to draw that line as clearly as we can at this point in time. And it's, of course, important to note David has not said anything about any of this yet. He is maintaining his innocence and has not been charged with anything. We don't know if he really did have anything to do with this whatsoever. All we know is that a vehicle belonging to him had a body of a 14-year-old in the front trunk. That's something. How did it get there? We don't know. So let's start with what's not disputed. On September 8th of 2025, a Tesla sitting at a Hollywood tow yard was opened after staff complained of a smell inside the front trunk, where human remains later confirmed to be those of Celeste Rivas Hernandez, 14 years old. That car was registered to David Anthony Burke, better known as David, here, spelled D4VD. The Houston-born artist. Police say the cause and manner of death are still deferred, which means toxicology is not public, the case isn't closed, and technically it's not classified as a homicide yet. Now, since that discovery, law enforcement's been quiet. No named suspects, no arrests, just open investigation. That silence left a void. And that's where private investigator Steve Fisher has stepped in. We've been hearing a lot from Fisher because, well, we haven't heard anything from official sources outside of a private investigator. Fisher was not hired by David. He was brought in by the owner of the Hollywood Hill home that David's manager had allegedly been leasing. The landlord wanted answers after police served search warrants there because, according to him, he wasn't getting much feedback from LAPD. Fisher walked into that house after the warrant was executed, and what he says he found has driven nearly every development since. So here's what's confirmed and what's claimed from Fisher's side. This is from the private investigator. Confirmed. LAPD searched that property and removed some electronics, phones, maybe even sections of drain pipe. It's claimed, as Fisher says, not everything was taken, and that he cataloged items left behind that would serve no purpose in the Hollywood Hills home. He described them as tools, more at home on a farm, the kind of equipment, in his words, you might use to completely get rid of something. His words. Now, that does sound sensational, but Fisher also clarified possession of those items does not prove a crime. He is careful there. He isn't saying someone used them, only that they were out of place enough to raise eyebrows, in his opinion, basically. And then there's the Build-A-Bear revelation. Because of all things to throw into a homicide maybe case with a decomposing body of a 14-year-old in a Tesla's frunk and a 20-year-old music star with titles such as Romantic Homicide is Build-A-Bear. Let's add Build-A-Bear to the equation, shall we? According to Fisher, during that same property search, he found a Build-A-Bear workshop certificate made out to a girl named Esmeralda, dated April 21st of 2024. Why does that date matter? Because that's 16 days after Celeste was first reported missing. On that same day, David posted a TikTok video of himself on a roller coaster at Six Flags Magic Mountain, which happens to have a Build-A-Bear inside the park. So you can connect those dots. A certificate for a child found in his house, dated the same days at a park that sells them. Six Flags policy requires anyone under 15 to have a chaperone over 21. Fisher's implication, and he phrases it carefully, is that Celeste may have been there, that she may have been not been alone. To be clear, no official evidence has surfaced showing Celeste at Six Flags that day. No photo, no ticket stub, no video. Her name's not Esmeralda either. What Fisher has is a certificate and a coincidence of dates. It is suggestive. It is not proof. Still, if that timeline holds, it blows a hole in the idea that Celeste vanished back in April. It would mean she was alive, moving, maybe even being chaperoned somewhere long after the world thought that she had disappeared. Now, about that timeline, Fisher says the last solid proof he's found of Celeste being alive is actually January 2nd of 2025, a photo timestamped that day. After that, he tracks vehicle data. The Tesla, he says, stopped with regular use by late January or February. And by late January, neighborhood surveillance shows that same Tesla still unmoved, caked in dirt, he says, parked in a quiet Hollywood Hill street. By August 27th, parking enforcement marks it. It's towed on September 5th. And 3 days later, workers pop the frunk and make that grisly discovery. Those dates, April 21st to 24, January 2nd, 25, late July 25, that's the skeleton of the case. Inside that window, Fisher's painted a picture of a secret ongoing relationship, possibly between a teenage girl and the 21-year-old rising artist, maybe. He says they were doing social things, that she had dropped out of school and that people close to her knew where she was. Even references sightings, a graduation she allegedly attended for her cousin Esmeralda, arguments with neighbors months later, all while she was still officially listed as a missing person. If that's true, that's not just a breakdown of law enforcement follow-up. That's a child falling through every safety net that's supposed to catch her. But as we know, those safety nets, well, they don't really exist. We say they do. We pretend that we, in paper, they're there on paper. But in this country, you can basically, you know, depending on your jurisdiction, be missing for decades and no one's really going to know or care. But again, that's Fisher's account, not confirmed by police reports. Then there's the matter of the Tesla itself. Fisher claims he's identified the individual who moved it to its final parking spot, though he hasn't named them publicly, citing the open investigation. He also discovered another vehicle allegedly belonging to someone in David's touring entourage, parked for 2 months on the same street before quietly being retrieved by two men. The timing, he says, is suspicious. That second car hasn't been connected to Celeste or her death, but it deepens the question of who exactly had access to the property and the Tesla. As for cause of death, Fisher has his theory, and he's been explicit that it's his own speculation, not an official conclusion. He says prescription opiates were found inside the house, legally prescribed, possibly, but enough for him to believe this may have been an accidental overdose, followed up by some sort of catastrophic cover-up, allegedly, an attempt to hide a relationship that, if exposed, could have ended a career. He admits he has no insider source, that the medical examiner's office just as experienced tracking their public defendant deferred case list. Based on that, he predicated a ruling could drop at some point. As of this moment, none has been made public. Again, it's an opinion. It's a guess, just like yours and mine. He just happens to have dug a bit deeper than the rest of us, you know, have been able to, because he's been in the damn house. So it's speculation. So what do we have? A missing child found in the trunk of the celebrity's Tesla, a private investigator claiming that the timeline of her disappearance doesn't quite add up. Evidence, some confirmed, some circumstantial, of a continuing relationship long after the world stopped looking for her, and a police department that to date hasn't named a single suspect. That's the part that's hard to process. Because even if Fisher's wrong about the overdose, even if every eerie coincidence turns out to be just that coincidence, we still have a 14-year-old who ended up dead, wrapped in plastic, stored in a car registered to an adult she was connected to. And so far, no one's been charged. That alone should outrage anyone with a pulse. Fisher's investigation also highlights another ugly truth. When social media and fandom got involved, facts drowned in noise. He said openly that Reddit threads, once helpful, have turned toxic, flooded with people misquoting him, twisting his words, creating alternative storylines at risk derailing a real case. And he's right. In the vacuum where law enforcement stays silent, the internet fills the space with rumor. It's Mad Libs on steroids. And victims like Celeste become hashtags instead of human beings. The hardest part in all of this is what it suggests about who knew what and when. Fisher believes several people, four or five, he says, know the truth about what happened to Celeste, or at least know she ended up in that Tesla. He says he doesn't believe she was murdered in a violent way. He believes she died, and instead of calling 911, someone panicked. Someone decided that saving an image was more important than saving a life. And whoever made that choice, he says, has to live with it. It's not conspiracy theory. It's morality. Because even if this ends up ruled an accidental death, a child was still left to decompose in a car while adults went on tour. So where does it go from here? The Los Angeles County Medical Examiner still has not yet released its final ruling. LAPD has made no arrest. David's representatives haven't commented beyond acknowledging the tragedy. And Steve Fisher, whatever you think of his theories, has been the only one consistently pulling on threads that no one else seems willing to touch. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's not. But when a 14-year-old girl ends up dead in the trunk of a pop star's car, silence doesn't really become an option. What this case needs now isn't more speculation, it's transparency. If LAPD cleared people, well, great, say so. If toxicology's back, release it. If there's no crime beyond concealment of a body, the public deserves to hear that too. Because as long as that silence stands, people like Fisher and frankly people like us are left to connect the dots. And the picture these dots form is getting darker by the week. Celeste Rivas Hernandez wasn't a headline. She was a kid whose name keeps getting buried under celebrity damage control, corporate PR, and online noise. She deserved protection. She didn't get it. She deserved answers. She still doesn't have them. So until those answers come, we'll keep following the evidence, the confirmed, the claimed, and everything in between. Because this story isn't about David or charts or image. It's about a little girl who ended up where no child ever should be. And until the truth is out, that's the only headline that matters. Give me your thoughts on the case in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not there already, I encourage you to go and check it out on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. While you're there, hit subscribe. Press the bell button. Don't miss anything that we talk about. Press subscribe on the podcast platforms as well. We do greatly appreciate that. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your thoughts. So do check that out on YouTube. Until next time, I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.